This is a HeadGum Original.
Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
My name is Freeze. Learn it well, for it's the chilling sound of your doom.
This is the way the world could end.
Please, show some mercy.
With ice. With a kiss.
With venom. I probably should have mentioned this. I'm poison.
Poison Ivy.
And the only man who can stop them.
I Freeze. I'm Batman.
Can't do it alone.
Batman will watch his beloved Gotham perish.
Bundle up, boys. There's a storm coming.
Kill the heroes!
It's a hockey team from hell!
Cool party.
Arnold Schwarzenegger.
All right, everyone, chill.
George Clooney.
Julie, I'm not the marrying kind.
I know you've had your wild nights.
Good night. Wild doesn't quite cover it.
Chris O'Donnell.
I want a car. Chicks dig the car.
This is why Superman works alone.
Uma Thurman.
So many people to kill, so little time.
Alicia Silverstone.
And you are?
Batgirl.
That's not awfully PC. What about Batperson?
Found the Batcave.
She knows who we are.
Guess we'll just have to kill her.
Yep.
In a Joel Schumacher film. Strength. And courage.
Partners.
Honor.
Partners.
And loyalty.
Partners.
It all comes together.
We're going to need a bigger cave.
Batman and Robin.
Okay, I'm Nicole Byer.
I'm Lauren Lapkus. We are covering Batman movies this season.
Yes, this is the sixth episode of our sixth season. We're working our way through the Batman universe with the help of newcomers, super fans, people who've contributed. Ooh.
And we're going to be doing 14 episodes this season, culminating in a very exciting live stream episode. It's going to be so exciting.
So wild.
You won't know what to do with yourself.
We don't know.
We're going to cover as much as we can get to in an overview of the franchise. We're obviously not going to get to everything. It's
no,
very
too
deep.
Much.
Well.
Dense. So today, we are discussing maybe my favorite movie
I
of all time.
I can't process what
the
is
second
being
Joel
right
Schumacher
now.
Batman Whoa. Movie, Batman and Robin, starring George Clooney. Did you know that they had planned a sequel, but it did so poorly they stopped it?
Well, that makes so much sense because I was wondering if we're going to have to watch another version of this.
I was hoping.
When they are all running towards the camera.
I
at
loved
the end.
It when they were running towards
well,
the camera.
Well, that was the only good part. Okay, Batman and Robin is available with a subscription on Max and Prime Video. You can watch it for a fee on Apple TV, Google Play, and Vudu. And obviously, we're going to spoil the film.
Ooh, we're going to spoil all of it. We're so excited for our guest today. Matt Gourley is an actor, comedian, and podcaster who you might know from the podcast Super Ego, Conan O'Brien Needs a Friend, Drunk History, Adventure Time. You can currently hear hear him on his new podcast. Oh, Mall Walk It. I don't know why I looked at it and I was like, this word's foreign to me.
Well,
but it's just Mall Walk It.
Yeah. It's not a real word. It's a way of life.
I want to know more about Mall Walk It, honestly.
It's just what it sounds like.
You walk around malls.
We walk around malls with two mics and we just, wherever the conversation, whatever, you know, hits us from the mall, whether it's like the scent of Wetzel's pretzels or the looking at a like Lids hat store, you know, or there's like a tall wall of dildos and every Spencer Gifts.
There really is.
There?
Yeah.
Is that
that's a
new
nice
feature?
Time.
Okay.
No, I think it's been there. They have like lots of vibrators and stuff. That's where I got my first one.
Wow. Your
first
one? Oh, was it funny? It.
No, it was just neon green and glue in the dark.
Okay. It glue.
It's still stuck down there.
Yep, it's just glowing inside me. Glue.
Oh my God.
Oh, also, you were the, what? Oh my God, I can't read today. And if you were around the Anaheim area in 1997, you might know him as the first prize winner of a competition held by Fluid Master Inc. to see who could best imitate the sound of a flushing toilet.
Someone went to my Wikipedia and found things I don't want on
there.
Wait,
can you do it still?
I used water, and honestly, I just won it because of my setup. It wasn't anything special.
Your setup? Special.
Yeah.
Honestly,
what is the setup you have?
Well, I just, do you know about that thing called the Coriolis effect where it's, I think it's not even real, but that.
I know very little, and that's something I don't know about.
Yeah, I don't feel
supposedly toilets drain one direction in the northern hemisphere and another direction.
But that's
and
not true?
I don't know. I've heard since that that's not true, but I just did my impression by spinning around and shooting water out of my mouth.
That
it was really stupid.
I
that's
like
fun.
It.
But I
why
got
was
them
there
to,
a contest of that?
For publicity for this company.
Oh. For toilets?
For like toilet parts, yeah.
Wow.
And they just called like improv groups and asked if they had improv. It was, the whole thing was a sham. I'm not proud.
Hey, I'm glad we're getting really deep into that.
Me
right
too.
Now.
It's I think it's exciting.
But what we really can't wait to do is talk with you about Batman and Robin, because I'm really curious where you're at with this. But before we even get to the movie, what's your relationship to the character of Batman or DC Comics? Mm-hmm. Are you really into all that
stuff? I think for a time it was pretty big. I started by watching the 60s show on TV so young that I didn't know it was camp. I didn't know it was comedy.
Uh-huh.
I took it seriously and loved it. And then learned that it was comedy, and I loved it again. And then the 89 Batman was big. I was in high school. That was huge.
Yeah.
And then these movies, the four from the Michael Keaton Batman to this one, are kind of like supposed to be the same arc, and they drop off so steadily.
Yeah.
Wait, they are?
Yeah, because you got the same butler and the same police commissioner.
Oh, yeah. I didn't even notice that.
Well,
I noticed
it's not
that
your fault.
He was in it. I'm like, why does he get to be in all of them?
Interesting.
But then they keep... recasting
Batman.
Everybody else?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. Okay. So
you look so worried.
Well, because I'm a little worried about this whole thing because I don't usually like to completely shit on things.
Sure.
But I had a really hard time with this, and I was so certain that you were going to be on my same page.
No.
That I literally texted you this morning when I was finishing it, and I was like, this is actually maybe the worst thing we've ever watched on all of the seasons of Newcomers.
Uh-huh.
And Like it's not just that I'm not interested or something, and that's why it's bad. It's like I think it's actually really bad.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, maybe she's not awake yet. I'm gonna see. And then you're like, this is my favorite movie. I'm like, I don't know what to make of this.
I started it a couple days ago, and then got halfway through, and I was like, Lauren, this is unintelligible. I can't wait for you to watch this.
And I thought that meant bad.
I mean, to most, yes. But I had such a good time that last night I started it again so I could watch it uninterrupted.
Jesus.
That's crazy.
Have you ever done that with any of these other movies for newcomers?
Well, I had to restart a couple because I fell asleep.
Yeah, that's
but this one, you
just wanted to see.
I just wanted to see it again. The Iceman cometh.
That character
was
excuse me, did you say character?
Yeah. That Tin Man. I mean, look, I
love the sparkly Tin Man.
The hat askew, and I looked up the character and it doesn't have that.
Oh, he doesn't?
No.
The what?
His little like
his
thing.
His weird helmet.
It's kind of like over here.
Yeah.
Like, Mr. Freeze?
Yeah.
I didn't even notice that, really.
It moved around his head as time went on, and then his teeth were blue at points.
I know.
And I was like, did the makeup get in his mouth? What's going
on?
His eyes were a sick red.
I know.
Oh my God. It was incredible. His little ice car reminded me of Mad Max, and I was like, wow, really took inspiration from that little vehicle.
Oh.
His little henchman also seemed pretty Mad Max-y, and
that
I was like...
That was... They kind of made me think, like, okay, someone was trying to do something different from the Tim Burton henchman thing, but still kind of a similar, like, clowns jumping out feeling.
Yes.
Yeah, it just wasn't. Okay, Matt, what's your hot sentence?
I'm happy to report that I see both of your sides.
Okay.
And I don't mean that to be diplomatic.
No. That might be helpful.
I think it's one of the worst movies ever made. Yeah. But that being said, I kind of enjoy watching it.
Okay.
I don't know why.
Come around to that.
It's just so bonkers and bad that it's like, I feel this way about the Star Wars prequels, that I watch them with my mouth open, kind of going like an academic studying culture or anthropology, going, how did this happen?
Yeah.
And it did.
Yeah.
And I remember seeing this in the theater with my girlfriend at the time, and we went in knowing it was bad.
Oh, really? Because it got bad reviews.
Yeah, because even Batman Forever, you're kind of like, I don't think this can get better. This is going to get worse.
Uh-huh.
You
know? Yeah.
And so we enjoyed it for that. But
well, that's a fun way to watch it. I didn't really know what to expect. And
me either. And honestly, it was nothing I could have ever imagined.
No, in the cast, I was like excited about certain people. I'm like, George Clooney, we got Uma Thurman, we got Alicia Silverstone. I mean, there's like a lot of people
from that time
that I love. Yeah.
Boy, oh boy.
Oh no. Okay.
The buildings that were shaped like humans. What the fuck?
The ice that was never ice. I was like, you can't get ice? Like, I just felt like there was never ice.
There was no real ice. Also, the two scientists at the end deserve awards.
Oh my God. Oh my God. Yeah, I wish MVPs. I remember the quote, because I really, do you remember what he said?
Shit.
Because it was like,
bad day I'm about to have, or something like
that.
There was one where there was
two
scientists up on like a ledge.
There was a black woman who was giving the performance of her life.
Yes. Yeah, she was like, and then the guy next to her who said something with like a New York accent.
Yeah, yes.
Like, what's coming over here? Yeah. And I was like, why are you New York?
I loved when everyone became unfrosted. They were just like sweaty looking.
I know.
This movie was every choice made was the wrong one.
Every time they went into ice, I was like, I can't believe this is the best ice that we can do. Like, it was just like,
I think it was
because
it all
casing.
Had to like light up.
Yeah, it was really aggro crag from Guts. Like, it was just like just cheap plastic lit up from the. I was just.
My absolute favorite moment of this film culminates when Alicia Silverstone is trying to break Alfred's password.
Oh my God.
And when the computer keeps going, access denied. Uh-huh. Access denied 5-6 times. Then she finally cracks the code and she goes, access allowed.
It was so,
why is
what
the
I mean.
Robot different?
Every
for
choice
allowed.
Was wild
because it was sexually pleased. I don't know what else it could be.
And also, when she cracked the code, the screen was projecting onto her face.
Yes,
which doesn't make any sense.
Yes,
it was just like all of the codes. I'm like,
and
all right.
When she discovered it was Peg, the picture did not say Peg before. Goes back to her, goes back to the picture, it says Peg.
It didn't say Peg?
No. Listen,
well,
I was full into this.
There was another like glitch thing that I saw. So you think it was a mistake?
Yes.
There were so many continuity errors. How she got to Peg. Yes. Let's just write it on here.
Uh-huh.
There was one moment where Robin's like going up and underwater, like in and out of water, and they just like boomeranged it.
It wasn't necessary.
Why do I need to see him do that?
I don't think you do.
He went under and then he's under.
So, Poison Ivy's lair, the set decorator said, I guess we go to Michael's.
I was just thinking
and
that.
And we just buy out the fake flower section. We have
just
a nice time
the
in
sale
Michael's.
Bin.
We
what
got
about
coupons?
Some real flowers?
No. This looks more realistic.
Yeah. Yeah, it is
Poison
actually
Ivy's
a whole better set.
Yeah.
Her whole deal was a problem for me. But let's take a quick break. We'll be back with more Batman and Robin after this.
If you're wondering what a NordVPN is, I'll tell you. VPN stands for Virtual Private Network, a service that protects your internet connection and online privacy. A VPN creates an encrypted tunnel for your data. Protect your online identity by hiding your IP address and allow you to use public Wi-Fi hotspots safely. I'm using a NordVPN myself. And honestly, it's very easy to use. You connect with one click to enable auto connect for zero click protection. It has amazing speed. NordVPN is one of the fastest VPNs out there, and it supports every major platform: Windows, Android, iOS, Linux, even Android TV. You can switch your virtual location to access apps and websites in other countries. Get an exclusive NordVPN deal here at nordvpn.com/newcomers. NordVPN.com/newcomers. It's risk-free with Nord's 30-day money-back guarantee. Link is in the episode description.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app today to get free delivery on your first three orders, while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
And we're back more. So, Batman and Robin was released June 12th, 1997, written by Akiva Goldsman, who has an Oscar.
And Akiva also wrote a previous one, I think.
Yeah, he wrote Batman Forever. Okay. He declined to write the sequel that then didn't get made.
Well, it's not really
like,
his choice.
Gotta do some research. I was like, this is how this got made is incredible.
I need to know everything about
it. I need
it.
To know if people were watching dailies. Like, I need to know, like, what they thought was happening.
I want to know the vibes on set. Like, were people like, this is fun? Or was everyone like, what did he just do?
I don't think it was good.
Yeah.
According to Lisa Silverstone, she had a pretty rough time.
Oh, she did.
Yeah, because she got press shamed because she couldn't fit in her bat suit because she put on a little weight.
What?
And then one of the storyboard artists did a cartoon of her like bulging out of her thing and it leaked. And she said Clooney was really nice to her and the guy who played Alfred was super nice to her and otherwise she didn't really have a good time.
That's so mean. Breaks my fucking heart.
This made me go down a research rabbit hole too.
Right? Because you're like, how did this get made?
Yeah.
Like, truly.
Exactly.
I can't believe it.
Yeah. I will say, we learned this later, but based on the dailies, they approved another one. And then when it came out, they were like, never mind. Oh,
that was going to be Batman Unchained.
Exactly.
Batman Unchained.
Batman Unchained. I'm really sad we didn't get Batman Unchained.
I mean, literally.
I mean.
Let's not.
Joel Schumacher is my hero.
He's the man responsible for the nipples, the bat nipples.
I know.
And we liked that.
It's a fun choice.
But none on Alicia Silverstone. She gets like a bat bra.
I know.
She does
and
get a bat bra.
And her boobs are really like coming out of
in
that
a little
style,
bat-kini.
The way it's like really, yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I was wondering about all of that, if that was comfortable or not. I assume not.
Is Joel Schumacher with us still?
I have no
idea.
No,
he recently died.
That's upsetting because I would like to interview him.
Honestly, it makes me feel a little safer with my opinion. I'm sorry that he passed.
I would like to do a seance and be like, I have queries and questions.
Apologized over and over for this
really?
Movie.
Really?
Here's another great story that I read. Clooney, apparently, if you go up to him and say anything about Batman, he apologizes and then refunds you his money.
Oh,
the money
my
that
God.
You paid
really?
For. Apparently, that's the story that he will pay
that's
anyone.
Really
that is
funny.
Very funny. He has one of the greatest line reads of all time. So, Bruce Wayne, are you going to get married? Marriage. Marriage. Help me out here. I was like,
Yeah.
Sir.
I mean... Everyone in this is a talented person, and so everything
I'm going to
that
say they worked
is that,
after.
Yeah, this is a horrible film that I can't believe every moment that occurs. And I mean, the writing is pretty crazy, the acting is crazy, the choices, the costumes, the sets, like
everything
feels really cheap. And I found that weird because I thought this was like a big franchise at this point.
Yeah.
Like, it just was like, why does it feel so cheap?
I don't know. It seems like it's the garish lighting that they went for stylistically. Like, did not do favors to the set.
Yeah. It really exposes everything. Yeah.
Everything. The way they lit the Iceman, what's his name?
Mr. Freeze.
What a dumb name. The way they lit him was insane. And I was like, maybe get a black person and light them?
Yeah.
Because he's darker than a white.
Yeah.
So he just looked insane at all times.
No, he did. And his costume was crazy.
Oh my
Did you
God.
See that he was lit from inside the mouth at times?
Yes.
He had a battery operated light inside his
mouth.
What? That, again, I just read all this morning. His saliva would sometimes make the battery corrode and leak battery acid.
That's so that's why he had like blue in his mouth sometimes?
Well, that was the light. Yeah.
But that's like really toxic. God.
Yeah.
Like,
and I guess the like makeup was all like fire. What do you call it?
Like fire.
Flammable. Yeah.
That
we might not have had Schwarzenegger.
It was flammable cold That's makeup?
Insane.
let's get really into this plot here. We can talk about every moment that happens in this film because each one is wild. We always want to thank the Batman Fandom Wiki for help with this summary and any problems with it, you can take it up with
them.
The film begins with Batman, George Clooney, receiving a call from Commissioner Gordon that a new villain named Mr. Freeze, Arnold Schwarzenegger, is wreaking havoc at the Gotham Museum. Mr. Freeze is a former doctor who wields a freezing gun, which, by the way, they threw a gun to him at one point. He fumbles it. I'm like, yes. No, take it again.
No, that was the only take. They only had so much time with Schwarzenegger.
It was crazy.
Yeah. Also, I learned they finished this film, I think, 2 weeks like ahead of schedule.
No,
yes, they did.
Take your time.
They could have gone back and done reshoots.
We did really like, short days. We did don't brag about this.
No, Joel Schumacher took a look at the final cut and he's like, yeah, no That's, notes.
We're good. Yeah. We're good.
2 weeks, everybody.
He also wears a life-sustaining cryogenic suit. His criminal plan? To freeze Gotham until he gets the money needed to finish finding the cure for a mysterious disease that has stricken his beloved wife, Nora, who's a normal person.
Just a normal lady stuck in some water.
Yeah.
Just
she's cryogenically frozen. I thought she was Nicole Kidman at first.
Same, but no, she's just like a nice lady.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think she was dating George Clooney at the time, that actress.
Oh, what?
This is all, I'm giving you all
I'm
IMDb.
Yeah,
you have so much. So,
but it's probably half of it is real. You know? I'm probably like,
okay, I don't care.
Okay, good.
I love this. Yeah.
Wait, that makes sense. It's like you get to be in a fun movie. You're like, sure, I'll be the floating body.
Floating dead
it's a
lady.
Role that has nothing for. No. I mean, I don't know.
Literally. You just have to be pretty and wet. Also, this summary doesn't include that the beginning we get to see all angles of that bat suit and the Robin suit. So at
Robin. Oh my God. And by the way, Mike was watching with me. He was like trying to remember what Robin's family was called. The Flying
Robin.
Graysons. No, I know, but I go, it's the Flying Graysons.
Oh, and I was like,
he was like, we're back to like when this happens where you start to know more about the stuff that I do and it's weird. And I was like, I'm sorry. Yeah. It's the Flying Graysons.
So funny.
He was calling me the wrong thing. I kept going, it's not that. It's not that.
Flying Robins. Yeah. It's the Flying Graysons.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
At the museum, multiple security guards open fire on him, but Mr. Freeze and his minions freeze them all. Just then, Batman and Robin, Chris O'Donnell, arrive at the museum and try to stop Mr. Freeze from attempting to steal a valuable diamond.
Oh, the
Their
diamond.
Boots click-clack together to turn into skates.
Yeah.
And the heroes play a game of ice hockey with the diamond.
It's so silly.
It is so unhinged. Mr. Freeze makes it out of his... with a rocket, with the diamond. He's a rocket now. Trapping Batman with his freeze gun, Robin uses his laser to rescue Batman as the heroes blow up the rocket with a bomb. This is insane. And then they surf down. Okay, so the heroes retrieve the diamond as Mr. Freeze freezes a section of Gotham City structures. Batman and Robin chase the villain on their little surfboards or boogie boards.
Yes.
And Mr. Freeze uses his freeze gun to freeze Robin. This is so funny. And takes the diamond with him. When he freezes him and he just lifts him up and puts him in water, I couldn't stop laughing.
Yeah, and wait, is this the part where like they surf off the building?
Yes.
Like the pieces, they're like,
on
surfs? He goes like, surfs up? I go, how do you know the building's going to come apart like that?
Yeah. Was Cowabunga the moment you knew like, this,
the exact timestamp.
Yeah, this is when things turn.
Yeah.
Like, it was the hockey game with
a
diamond.
I think the suddenly having skates.
Yeah, I was like, what is this?
Yeah.
He also uses puns that aren't even like plays of speech.
Yeah.
He says freeze well at one time.
Yes, freeze
what
well.
What is that?
Every single line that he has is bad, and I like every single one. I mean, it was amazing.
It's so funny. So Batman then uses Robin's laser to thaw him out. Back at Mr. Freeze's lair, we learn that he uses the diamonds to power his freezing engine.
And the diamonds didn't even look good. I'm like, that's not a hard thing.
They were just plastic.
Yeah.
So we also meet one of his henchwomen, Ms. Behaven.
Ms. Behaven? I hate it.
I will say this. Vivica A. Fox was maybe the best actor in this movie.
She was. Yeah. And her outfit was good.
It was a good outfit. Yeah. And I was like, you're really doing something.
Yeah,
and then they
really
were like,
trying.
You can only have one scene.
Yeah.
We're like,
we've had enough.
You're making him look bad.
So meanwhile in South America, Dr. Pamela Isley, Uma Thurman, a botanist obsessed with protecting the environment, is working under Dr. Jason Woodrue, John Glover, experimenting with a drug called Venom. And watches as Dr. Woodrue uses the formula to transform a diminutive convict into a hulking monstrosity dubbed Bane. Woodrue and Isley argue over how the drug should be used, and Woodrue kills her by pushing her backwards into a bench of various steroids and toxins. Everyone gets their powers by falling into something.
Yes, that's what I was thinking, because Mr. Freeze also falls into a vat.
Joker.
Yeah. Joker.
Are you guys curious at all who you're going to see as villains in these like realistic Christopher Nolan movies? Because I will tell you one of these villains.
Who?
Is one of these people?
Is the main villain in one of the Christopher Nolan ones. That's very serious, you know?
Oh, and no.
Wait, who?
I know. You're looking at Mr. Freeze, Poison Ivy, or Bane, and you go, how could any one of these people be in a serious movie?
But
one of them is.
Which one?
You want to know?
It's fine.
Yeah, tell us.
Bane.
Yeah. Okay.
Bane, that goofy fucking thing's in a serious movie?
And it's played by Tom Hardy.
What?
Yeah.
I don't see that for anybody.
Look, I started watching that next one, and it was so different from this that
you're in for it.
It must work, okay? Woodrue and Isley argue over how the drug should be used, and Woodrue kills her. Okay, yeah. So though it seems like she melts into the ground, she soon rises up in the wreckage.
And I love that he was like, yes, poison.
Zach, anyone to kiss her?
Yeah, that was...
Okay, stop.
But you didn't feel like the sexual chemistry was really strong?
Yeah, I was like, he's disgusting.
He's gross.
She transforms into the beautiful and seductive Poison Ivy in front of Woodrue and kills him with a poisonous kiss. Ivy discovers that Woodrue was funded by Wayne Enterprises.
Which is an incredible moment where she's smashing glasses and then almost smashes the Wayne one and then stops. And then she's like, huh, Wayne Enterprises, and then throws it. And I was like, we couldn't take that again?
Yeah.
We couldn't we couldn't make that a little bit more of a choice?
I have so many questions about how she was directed.
Or not.
She takes Bane with her as her bodyguard to Gotham City while she attempts to use her plants to take over Gotham. Her character is one... I think I thought it'd be more like Catwoman.
Yes.
Like a sexy sort of like sultry, and it's really kind of like casual in a way, or like kind of like light feeling.
Yes.
Like, it doesn't feel scary.
No.
No, I think it's because she was like pretty campy as like... this distraught botanist in a very strangely lit like science play.
It kind of had the same problem as the Riddler.
Yes.
Where like the initial character is weird enough that then like it's hard to know where to go when you change.
If you start at a 10, where do you go?
Yeah.
Also Bane driving. I was like, why do we trust this thing to drive?
With
what
the
even
fedora,
is it?
Right?
What did it start? Was it a guy?
It was a person.
And then his legs got all big and I was like, oh God, it's like Nutty Professor or something.
Back at Wayne Manor, an insane scene happens. Alfred's niece, Barbara Wilson, Alicia Silverstone, makes a surprise visit. Bruce offers to have her stay with them until she goes back to school.
Okay, I was excited to see her. I love her. I felt like the Chris O'Donnell or the Robin storyline with her.
Well, it was confusing because I was like, does he want her or not?
Yeah, he was being really weird about it. And I also didn't like throughout the whole movie the way that Robin and Batman were fighting over
Poison Ivy. Yeah.
It was so... like
weird,
small-minded, and odd. That I just was like, that isn't even like how these movies work in general. I don't know. I feel like Robin as a character is like so immature that I can't take it.
Yeah,
and I don't want him to be his sidekick.
Did you guys watch the '60s Batman?
Movie? Yeah,
okay.
Yeah,
where he's just like, "Holy smokes, Batman! Yeah. Holy, 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 holy!" Yeah. Not for me.
Yeah,
I liked that more than this.
Yeah. I loved this more.
I am so happy.
I like that more than this. I loved this more. That one's stronger, I think.
So elsewhere, it's revealed that Mr. Freeze's wife was stricken with a mysterious disease, McGregor syndrome, for which he is desperately trying to find a cure. Alfred also becomes ill with the first stage of McGregor syndrome and appears to be dying from the disease.
I thought he was like dying in real life and they kept shooting.
Yeah. They didn't make it clear that he's dying until much later, though, right? Like, I think like they don't know what's going on with him because she's like, Alicia Silverstone is his niece, and that also confused me because I'm like, how old was her mom?
Yeah, also, she says she's from England.
I know, and then she just makes no attempt to have an accent or anything. Yeah,
okay.
She's like, I'm here from England. My mom's your sister. And it's like,
okay. In the real story, she's Commissioner Gordon's daughter. And I don't know why. I think they didn't want to go with that because he was too old, but then so is Alfred, so I don't know why they did that.
Yeah. Uncle Alfred. At a press conference where we meet Bruce's girlfriend, played by Elle McPherson, who truly does nothing.
It's a
wild part. Wayne Enterprises presents a new telescope to the Gotham Observatory, which is just a weird building in the hands of a man. A man-shaped building?
Yeah.
Can you go in that building?
I don't know.
What is it?
Yeah.
But they're soon interrupted by Isley. She proposes a project that could help the environment, but Bruce declines her offer as it would kill millions of people.
Oh, good reason. Batman and Robin decide to lure Freeze out using the Wayne family diamonds and present them at a Wayne Enterprises charity event. Ivy attends the event and decides to use her abilities to seduce Batman and Robin. Okay, so she does this like performance during the party that everyone's like, Oh, and she's literally doing nothing.
She doesn't sing.
She's just
seems like she's gonna sing.
Standing, kind of like blowing
red smoke at
and
people.
Then she like steps on like a bunch of guys' backs to like climb them as like almost choreography, and everyone's literally like, "This is the best show I've ever seen." And then all the guys are so horny, and Batman and Robin are both like, "She's mine," and it's like really pathetic. Because also, has Batman even broken up with his girlfriend at this point?
No, because they kiss later, and he says Ivy, and she's like, "Who's Ivy?" Yeah. And he's like, "You tell me." Yeah. And I was like, "Oh, what?"
I know. She's like, "Who's Ivy? Why did you say Ivy?" Oh.
Where are we?
Oh, Freeze crashes the party, trying to steal a diamond, but is defeated and detained in Arkham Asylum. Ivy takes an interest in Freeze, and with Bane's help, frees him from Arkham.
I love when he's taken to Arkham, and then he, like, immediately, like, hits the fucking guards there, and then they're like, "You're gonna die." Yeah. And he's like, "No, I'm not." And then he's like, "I'm dying!"
I know, his whole, like, falling apart when he's in jail, where they're like, "Keep him in the cold part." And then he like goes out of the cold part a little bit, and he's like, his eyes are like popping out of his head, and he's like,
"Disgusting."
And still being an asshole to them, even though he's clearly dying. And then he gets back in the cold part, and he's like, "Oh, good."
But when he builds that little ice music box
over his dying wife, I was like, "Wow, okay." Like,
does your wife want to be with you now that you're this?
A weird ice thing?
I know, she's got a surprise coming if she survives.
Yeah, she's like, "Who's this crystal silver man?"
And he's really not a kind guy.
No.
So.
Batman and Robin and the police arrive at Freeze's lair in response to his escape, discovering Nora preserved in a cryogenic chamber that Freeze has developed to a cure for the early stages of McGregor syndrome. Freeze, Ivy, and Bane secretly arrive to recover Freeze's diamonds and Nora.
But also, so at this point, I'm like, okay, so Freeze is like a good doctor who's like finding a cure for a disease.
Yes.
Like
yes.
That guy's like really smart and solving a big problem.
Yes, Lauren.
Yes.
He's a complex character. He's stealing diamonds for his ice suit.
He looks like a crazy tin
and
man.
Trying
because
to bring his wife back.
Vat.
Yes.
Okay.
Why don't you get it? There's
I don't
a
know.
Big vat of weird shit behind his desk.
Mm-hmm. You're right. You're right. I don't know what's wrong with me.
Wanting Freeze for herself. This is also wild because Vivica A. Fox also wanted Freeze. And I was like, nobody wants to fuck this man.
You cannot be attracted to Freeze.
No.
Freeze. Let me run by you the people that were considered for this role.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Please.
Right. Sylvester Stallone.
I can see
Whoa.
That.
Hulk Hogan.
Interesting.
Wow.
Ed Harris.
What?
That actually works for me.
Yeah.
Okay.
And Anthony Hopkins.
Wild.
Whoa,
that
would be fucking weird.
Group of people. Well, they're also different.
I think Arnold Schwarzenegger doesn't really feel evil.
No, he's
partly
not.
Partly because there's not a lot of range within it. So it's like, I think Anthony Hopkins could really scare me as Freeze. Yeah.
I think so too, especially with that makeup.
Yeah.
Mm-mm.
And he's probably a little smaller. So that would be really interesting looking.
It would be interesting looking a smaller... Also, Arnold Danny could not move in that suit, and it was very funny to just watch him tumble around.
I wonder how long the makeup took on his head.
Yeah.
Probably 5 minutes. I don't think there was any care. I don't think anybody really cared. I think they were like, "Do bop, bop, get out there. Yeah,
let's
shoot
see
this
what
movie.
You're going to do. We're going to get this done in 2 weeks.
Wanting Freeze for herself, Ivy unplugs... This is so fucked up. Nora's chamber steals the diamonds and seduces Robin, escalating tensions between him and Batman. At Ivy's hideout, Ivy convinces Freeze that it was actually Batman who killed Nora. Freeze swears to freeze all of humanity in revenge.
I mean,
wild. With Ivy planning to repopulate the Earth using her mutant plants afterwards, Freeze and Bane commandeer Gotham Observatory and convert the new telescope into a giant freeze ray. While Ivy uses the bat signal to contact Robin, Robin attempts to go after Ivy alone, but Batman convinces him not to fall for Ivy's seduction. At Wayne Manor, meanwhile, Barbara discovers the Batcave, where an AI version of Alfred reveals that he has made Barbara her own suit.
That was so convenient that I was like, it was just a little silly.
I was like,
silly.
Wait, what? And then I was also like, can she fight?
No, it's like we
Does
know
she
that she can like race on a motorcycle.
She races motorcycles, so she knows how to fight.
We skipped that, I guess, that she like
girl.
Steals
oh,
a bike
from
Batman and like goes out drag racing because she's so sad about her parents' death that she wants to feel anything. And so she like races off the edge of the earth. By the way, she's like falling off a building at one point And Robin catches her and he's like, so this is where you hang out. And she's like, ugh. Yeah. I'm like, you're about to die.
Yeah.
Like,
and the CG on that was wild.
Yeah.
It was so funny to me.
I hesitate to say this, but I think once every generation, the world's most boring actor comes along and every generation has theirs. And I think Chris O'Donnell is my generation's most boring
actor. He really brought nothing to
the
role.
I'm saying I want to see him in a romantic film. I don't think I want to see him in a big character costume.
No.
Yeah.
I think he gave the crown to Josh Hartnett.
Wow. Oh. We definitely got a lot out of him.
I like Josh Hartnett.
Well, it's not to say you don't like him, but there's just not a lot of energy or something's like, there's just like a
spark. It's
like
almost too cool for school or something.
Yeah. Like, I don't like to be here.
I felt George Clooney was kind of too cool in this.
For sure.
And I love him, but I was like, I was just going like, why isn't he doing
it? Yeah, where's the spark?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I felt like he was just a little flirtatious whenever he was Bruce Wayne, but not like, there wasn't like a comfort in it. It was more just like, even like looking at Alfred, he'd be like kind of like raising his eyebrow. And I'm like, you look like you're into him. Like, it was just kind of like, there wasn't like, I don't know. And also, I didn't like how he kept remembering memories with Alfred throughout the whole movie.
Yes.
He would just look off in the distance and see Alfred like serving him soup when he was little. And he's like, ah, yeah, that was a good time. I'm like, you're really building the fact that they have a relationship. Like, if anything, we know that, but...
It's also wild that Alfred raised Bruce Wayne and then now is his caretaker as he's fighting crime.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a big shift.
It's it's very odd.
I know. But basically, he mainly still gives him meals and stuff.
Yeah.
Also, his date with Elle Macpherson was much more civilized than the original date he goes on with, well, in the previous movie.
It wasn't sexy or anything.
No, it was like they were having dinner at their little table.
Oh.
And it was like, she's like, when are you going to get married? He's like, I don't know about that.
I don't
that,
think I'm
sweet.
The marrying kind or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's all truly wild. So Barbara dons the suit and becomes Batgirl, arriving at Ivy's lair in time to help Batman and Robin subdue her.
And they were like, so who are you? And she's like, Batgirl. And then they're like,
what about
shouldn't it be
Batperson?
Batperson or Batwoman? Batwoman?
Wait, so you're cool with Batman then?
Yeah. He's like, it's not PC. And then she goes, hey, it's me, Barbara.
Oh.
And I went, do you really not know that? If he didn't seem to go, I know. He was like, they just didn't say anything after that. I was like,
they sure didn't. Yeah. It was a very strange interaction.
It's me, Barbara.
It's like, the Clark Kent glasses.
Wait, we know. Yeah. Your hair and complete face are showing.
By the way, I'm Matt Gourley.
What? Bye-bye.
Who are you?
I don't know.
Bill?
I don't know. I also love the weird makeup around their eyes.
Yeah.
I was like, what does that look like when they take the costume off? What is that?
They just have like raccoon eyes.
Yeah.
You'll see that in the Batman, which is the latest one with Robert Pattinson, who's kind of like an emo Batman.
I have seen this one. Okay, I loved it.
He takes off the mask and it's kind of used to effect because he's got the makeup on, but he kind of looks like goth and emo because it's like almost like tear stained mascara.
Don't remember that.
Or like the cure.
I can't wait. Batman, Robin, and Batgirl decide to go after Freeze and Bane together. By the time they get to the observatory where Freeze and Bane are, Gotham is completely frozen. Robin and Batgirl confront Bane and defeat him after they manage to pull out Bane's main venom supply tube, causing him massive withdrawal and transforming him back to his original state.
Pretty easy target.
Yeah. All it took was like kicking the little knobs out of the back of his head.
Yeah.
I said, okay.
Yeah.
That was easy.
That's it.
Easy peasy.
Mm-hmm.
Meanwhile, Batman, also, if I lived in Gotham, in like every couple of years, the city was getting like frozen or a penguin was coming, I'd be like, we got to get out of here.
Let's move.
We can't live here anymore.
We don't have to live like this.
Meanwhile, Batman and Freeze fight it out. Freeze tries to kill Batman by destroying the telescope platform, but only succeeds in crushing and weakening Bane. What?
Crushing the weakened Bane.
Mm-hmm. Batgirl and Robin unfreeze Gotham's buildings, and Batman reveals to Freeze that Ivy killed Nora. Freeze is angered by the betrayal.
He shows him, he like pulls out a little cell phone and like plays
his
a
little
video.
Belt buckle.
Yeah, it's like just a little screen. Yeah. He's like, you might want to see this. And it's like Ivy being like, and that's why I killed Nora. And he goes like, like he's like,
I was like, also, how did you get that footage? Where did it come from?
Who filmed that?
I can only believe his belt buckle is also a camera that
I know.
Would have shot that because he was down on the ground.
But honestly, like, it probably was the exact frame from the movie. Like, they didn't even get a different perspective on it.
I love when movies do that. When you see, like, a picture on someone's nightstand and it's from earlier in the movie. Or something like that.
Like, we couldn't be bothered to do anything different. Freeze is angered by the betrayal and learns that learns from Batman that his wife isn't in fact dead. She's in a cryogenic slumber and we move to Arkham waiting for him to finish his research, which is wild to be like, hey, criminal, you can still save your dying wife.
Yeah.
Is it Alfred could be cured because he only has stage one McGregor syndrome wife has stage four or something like that?
That has to be.
Batman proceeds to ask Freeze for the cure that he has created for the first stage of McGregor syndrome. Freeze atones for his misunderstanding by giving him the experimental medicine that he had developed. He
said, what's the line?
Take two and call me in the morning.
I was literally like, every line of this is silly. I don't know if it's supposed to be funny. Maybe it's like how when you watched the 1966 when I was a kid and didn't get the joke. I'm like, is this supposed to be making me laugh? I don't
know. It is that, but it's not done well. That's the problem. It should have been, here's the cure for the common cold.
I think this one I was like, this is funny.
Yeah.
I don't think it was meant to be funny, but every step of the way, I was tee-hee-hee.
I wish we had just like a page of lines that Freeze said because they're all...
I was going to write them down, and I didn't.
Yeah.
I read on IMDb that there are 27 one-liners about cold or freezing or something like that.
That's absolutely perfect. Also, Uma Thurman's wig gets worse and worse as the movie goes on.
We were hoping for a bad wig, and we got one.
When she's got the two little space buns with the hair down in the back, you can literally see the tracks where they just pinned them in.
Wow.
The lace wasn't terrible, but in some lights, I was like, yeah, actually, it's very, very bad.
And I'm with
her wig
on
is synthetic.
Yeah,
that was
synthetic. That was another
wig.
Problem for me, because it actually reminded me, I didn't put that together, but her character reminded me of a character I played in a sketch show like 15 years ago. And then I had this bright red wig that was like, supposed to be like sexy 60s like and it was like that, and I was like, that was the same wig.
It feels like you go into a Halloween superstore, off the rack you buy like Bat Hero Villain, that kind of generic branded costume or something like that with the synthetic wig. And
I just was like so curious about Poison Ivy as a character, like before and what's set up about her, because it just didn't feel established. Like, it felt like she was kind of like loosely figuring it out, and that made me feel like, ugh, it's like a missed opportunity. Like, it felt like it could be a really sexy, cool character, but then maybe people liked it. I don't know. I have no idea.
Apparently, she got all the critical raves. She was the only one that got positive reviews for this movie.
I mean, I guess.
I can see it. Also, she was in a peak moment.
Yeah.
At the time. I mean, she's done many cool movies that are not this. I don't know about the timeline, but. So later, a depressed and disheveled Poison Ivy is shown imprisoned in Arkham Asylum. Freeze walks in and announces he will make her life a living hell of winter for trying to kill his wife and deceiving
him. Which is so funny that they let him keep his suit and just walk around freely.
Yeah.
I'm like, this man is, he froze your city.
Yeah.
You gotta keep him locked up.
Yeah. He should not be able to live, honestly. I wouldn't be mad
and
if
he's gonna
put
be her
down.
Cellmate while he's also just working in a lab.
Yeah.
So she's just allowed to be in this lab.
Yeah.
Yes.
No, and like that they have to be together. They were like, no. I was just like, this is so
also
goofy.
When they froze the city, I'm really glad that they showed that dog to show that everybody in the city was affected.
Mid-pee.
Alfred
Didn't
is given
the heat from the pee stop the freezing?
No, no? It's that powerful. Warren,
okay, fine.
Alfred is given Freeze's cure, which he just had on him, which is funny to me, and is eventually healed. It's agreed that Barbara will stay on at Wayne Manor, with Alfred remarking that they're going to need a bigger cave. And just like with Batman Forever, the film ends with Batman Robin, and this time Batgirl, running towards the camera with the bat signal lit up behind them, and I said, bravo!
Well, we didn't really get into the way that they solved it with the mirrors around the world.
Yes.
They were like, we need the sun from Egypt to
also
come.
Robin was like, we're gonna have to do this upside down, but then Batgirl is standing straight up on a computer doing it.
Yeah, they were like, she's like, let me figure it out, little. He goes like, okay, little girl. And she's like, okay, little boy.
Yeah.
And then she's like, click clack, hacking into the mainframe of Earth, moving the mirrors so that they go around and the sun projects and melts the ice. Like, it was like so silly. And then like the video of it working.
Other than magical. That, though, flawless film.
Oh, yeah. Okay. No, everything I said was just like me being a little harsh. I loved it. I thought it was great.
I think it's honestly, it was so goofy. And I loved those scientists at the end.
Yeah.
They made me laugh.
They were amazing.
So hard. Just like swinging around, being like, whoa, whoa. I was like, Batman, save them.
Yeah.
Get them off this swinging broken telescope.
I know.
And get them to safety.
I feel like those actors were the only people aware of what they were in and just going, like, fuck it, right, let's just do our own thing and have some fun.
They were reacting hugely to everything.
I need to know if they've worked again. I'll watch everything they've been.
Okay, so this movie, let's talk about the awards of reception. Well, Batman and Robin had a pretty solid opening weekend at the box office. Its numbers dropped by 63% in its second weekend, due mostly to poor word of mouth. It currently holds an 11% rating of Rotten Tomatoes.
Wow. Oh, George Clooney has apologized for his involvement in the film, saying, in 2005, I think we might have killed the franchise, and calling it a waste of money. Clooney says that he's apologized for the film when he met the former Batman, Adam West.
Oh my God, that would feel bad.
Yeah. In an interview with Vice in 2017, director Joel Schumacher apologized for the film, taking full responsibility for its reputation, saying, I want to apologize to every fan that was disappointed because I think I owe them that. A lot of it was my choice. No one is responsible for my mistakes but me. He also blamed the studio pressure to make the film more toyetic. I.e. a showcase for marketable toys and games.
Okay, that makes me feel, like, just better about disliking it. Because I feel like them apologizing, which is, like, kind of funny, but also, like, probably sincere on some level. Because,
yeah.
I mean, with the fans being obsessive Batman people, yeah. I'm sure you felt the pressure of that. But that's, like, it's just kind of funny. I mean, it's funny to meet Adam West. I mean, I would be embarrassed if I was in a bad one. But also, the thing is, as I was watching him going, I would play every role in this at the same level, and I'd be happy to do it. So I'm like, I fully understand why everyone's there.
Yeah.
If you're Alicia Silverstone and you're just in Clueless, then you're offered Batgirl.
You're,
like,
you're going to do Batgirl.
Like, yeah. Why would you not?
Are you guys ever going to tackle the Bond franchise?
I'm scared of that franchise.
Just because there is a similar trajectory where one movie gets so batshit crazy and then goes to the Daniel Craig Casino Royale, like Batman Begins, and it gets like super realistic and it's a weird kind of nosebleed.
Oh, wow. Thing like this. Well, you're the expert on this whole world, I would say. But that's another deep one that has
that's a long, right?
Many
there's 25.
That sounds awful.
Official. There's two extra, too. So that's 27 if you were to do
two extra? What do you mean two extra?
Well, there's like two non-official James Bond movies.
Where he's James Bond and he's like, Bond, but call me James Bond. Like,
no, Connery came back later and with another producer kind of did like a black market James Bond because they had the rights to it somehow. It would be a long season.
Yeah.
You could just do them by actors over time or something like that. You know,
I'll let you know, they're all long seasons. Like, it's like, if it's a long gig that we've signed up for.
I'm dying to know what has been your favorite franchise so far.
Tyler Perry.
Tyler Perry was great. Okay. So it was Fast and the Furious.
I didn't do that one. But
you had big important things in your life.
Right.
Yeah. But I guess I would also say I like that I've seen all the stuff now. Like, there's a part of me that's like just glad that I know because it's sort of like a blind spot in the world that I don't have anymore. Like, I get it. I get all the jokes about Lord of the Rings and Star Wars and I've got it. And,
Yeah.
That's the upside, I would say.
I did try to watch the last Guardians movie, and I was like, "Oh yeah, I don't want this in my life. I don't like this."
The Marvel ones.
Yeah, we've seen all the Marvel.
Yeah, and there was no one to like tell me it was good later. So I was just like kind of like lost in the sauce, being like, "Why is this little rabbit tied to a bench? And why is this man?
I haven't even seen that.
I haven't seen that one.
Bailed on the Marvel ones.
Yeah.
There's how many did you do?
We did like 27.
Oh,
no, we 20. Did 20 out of 27 or something. Yeah.
Boy, it was so many.
That's rough.
Yeah, it was
That's
a lot. Rough. It was a lot. And the hours were long and grueling.
Let's do some trivia.
Okay.
No way.
No way.
According to John Glover, who played Dr. Jason Woodrow, Joel Schumacher would sit on a crane with a megaphone and yell before each take, "Remember, everyone, this is a cartoon." It was hard to act because that kind of set the tone for the film.
Well, that explains everything.
Yeah, he was like, "Remember,
this is a cartoon."
Yeah,
and it's very much not.
And they had
the
tilted Dutch angles like the TV show. They were really going for that, but they just didn't do it well because it's not funny, you know?
I know. That's really
so interesting to watch.
That's really funny, though. That makes so much sense because I was wondering, like, what are they being told to do?
Yeah, to be a cartoon.
If I'm told to be a cartoon, it's insane.
You'll get
like, it's going to be insane. All right. So it took, my question is being answered. It took Schwarzenegger 6 hours to get into makeup and wardrobe each day.
Wow.
That to me is such a waste of time.
Yes. Especially product?
Yeah. Like, he wore a bald cap after declining to shave his head. Just shave it. That would probably save you a couple hours.
Right.
A blue LED in his mouth and had acrylic paint applied. The blue LEDs had to be wrapped in balloons after battery acid started leaking into Schwarzenegger's mouth. I'm sorry, you have a balloon in your mouth with a battery inside it all day? That's like awful.
Yeah.
That would taste so bad.
Nothing's worth it.
The extensive time spent on his costume significantly restricted his shooting time as his contract was limited to 12 hours a day.
That's
of
so
work.
Funny. Half his day was makeup and then half his day was going.
He only worked for six
that's
hours.
That's why really he fumbles funny. His gun and they're like, keep
they're
it.
Like,
that's
yes, the best. We got, we got too much to do today. They had him yeah. for a brief period.
I love it. The next film in the series was greenlit when execs saw dailies from Batman and
wow.
Robin.
Wow.
It was set to include Scarecrow as the villain. A Scarecrow? And Nicolas Cage and Coolio were considered for the part.
What? What a range of choices.
This is so insane. After the film's release and poor reception, the next installment was scrapped.
That's sad.
Scarecrow's your next villain.
Scarecrow?
For the next movie. For the Christopher Nolan
one. Oh. It sounds scary.
And Avian.
And okay. And yeah, you're right. So according to rumors, if you meet George Clooney and talk to him about this film, he'll give you your money back for having seen it. Will you pay my HBO Max bill for the month?
Maybe
seriously,
he will.
Yeah.
How do we reach out to his people? Let's take another break and we'll be back with more Batman and Robin.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
Okay, so we have a really fun segment. We're back with our segment, Holy Batman, Batman. This is the segment where we use our QR code and we rate George Clooney on the definitive newcomer's Batman scale. So we will use our phones to rank this Batman across five unique characteristics. Let me grab my phone.
Oh, this is amazing.
So we're ranking him on preparedness. How prepared is this Batman? Does he get to use his little gadgets and tools? Detective ability. Does this Batman get to be a little detective? Is he good at mystery solving? Voice graveliness. How gravelly is this Batman's voice?
Oh, I have
sadness,
a tidbit on that.
How lonely, brooding, emo is this Batman? And finally, hotness. How hot is this Batman?
This is amazing.
We also forgot to talk about how Robin does go to Poison Ivy and then kisses her and then pulls off his like plastic right. lips.
Which also worked. Was like, it was just like a layer of like skin that
of
looks like
latex
it's being pulled off.
Yeah, wild. It was disgusting.
And then I was like, why did you kiss her?
He just wanted to.
Yeah, I was like, that's so
and
gross.
And then he was like to Batman, like, she's mine. You're just jealous. You don't want me to have something. And I'm like, you guys, this is so lame.
This is so
There's
weird.
There's so many women. There's always hot women. Just like, stop.
Gotham, for whatever reason, is riddled with beautiful women who are like, can't be bothered to move.
They were seduced by her pheromone extract.
I guess.
Yeah, but Batman wasn't somehow. He figured it out.
Yeah, once he knew about it. Ugh.
So are we, do we just do this on our own?
Yeah, so submit it and then we'll get the average.
We'll get the average.
All right, sorry. Okay. All right. Happening. Okay. And yeah. Okay. Got it.
Okay. All so right. Preparedness 89.3%. I think he was pretty prepared.
He was prepared.
He had his little bat things to shoot and swing around.
He showed the proof on his video bat thing.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Batman's always prepared.
He was very prepared.
Detective ability, 58%. Yeah, he figured out Mr. Freeze fell into the vat. He figured out that Poison Ivy had poisonous kiss and could seduce. And
I gave him a lower score for when Barbara was like, I'm Barbara. Because I just felt like,
yeah.
I don't know what was
fair.
Going on there, but I felt like he should have known that.
I'm
he
sure
absolutely
you guys have,
should
like,
have known.
Gone through the origin that his first comic was just a detective comic book and he was just a detective.
Oh,
nope,
no.
Not one person.
Really? Not that. No, no, no. No one's ever
It was
ever
called
heard
Detective
that
Comics. It wasn't even called Batman.
What?
Yeah, and he was just a detective who wanted to scare people. And so it was really like
a
he was just
wanted
like
to scare people?
Yeah.
So he was solving, like, mysteries and then was like, I'll scare him too?
Essentially, he wanted to use the fear of the bat to scare criminals.
Oh.
But it wasn't like there were supervillains right away. And then Joker came along and then that kind of started all that.
Oh, wow.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. Voice graveliness, 37.3. There was no real gravel.
Well, how about this? Now, I learned about this, too. They had to pitch his voice down when he was in the suit. They pitched it down 5%.
What?
To make it, like, more bassy and resonant or something like that.
I don't like that they digitally altered it.
Yeah. Didn't notice.
I know. It's kind of cheating, right?
Yeah.
I mean, does that change your vote? Do you want to get back on?
Well, mine's pretty low.
Mine was low.
Yeah, mine's low.
Or maybe I gave it high. I
don't
know.
Someone gave it high.
Maybe that was a mistake. Yeah.
Sadness. I gave him low sadness because he seemed pretty
happy.
Pretty okay.
He was pretty smart.
Yeah,
actually.
He's like, I don't want to get married. Yeah, whatever.
Yeah.
I got this kid here. Whatever.
He didn't really seem to care about anything.
No, he didn't.
No, he was like,
as an actor or a character. Yeah, he.
Whatever.
Yeah.
Hotness, horniness, 40%. Yeah, I wasn't horny. I think George Clooney's great. Usually pretty horny.
I typically would find him horny, and I did not. I feel that there was no sex appeal in this film.
Yeah.
There's not really. Also, he doesn't really have any sexual relationships. He has like his girlfriend, who he's not really interested in taking it further with, even though she's a little supermodel who's in love with him. And then nothing happens with him and Poison Ivy. That's like actually anything.
I think he's the Batman that's aged the best, though. Just as an actor.
Sure. 100%. Yeah. I mean,
he's doing real well.
Probably People Magazine's Sexiest Man Alive 100
Still,
times.
Yeah.
Many times. There was no horniness really in this movie besides like showing off the costume.
Yeah.
And it reminded me of Marvel movies where there was like no like kissing and like there was no like, give it to me.
Yeah, I felt like Poison Ivy could have been that character who's like, because she had to kiss a lot of people in this movie, which I felt bad for her about because it's just that sucks. But like, especially because they were oftentimes like just like people you would probably meet, she would meet for like 1 minute of that day of shooting and then have to kiss them. But like, she didn't make it something. Like, it's like, she kind of like rolls her eyes back, but I'm like, it could have been a very sexual, seductive character. That just didn't feel that way to me.
I did love when she kissed that first man to kill him. She opened her eyes real big. Kind of looked into the camera.
I liked it because I was like, well, we know she doesn't like kissing
this
like
guy.
It's not about her. It's about killing him. And we also have a new segment that we're very excited about. Taryn Killam's new segment, How Did This Score? So we've talked about the music and score and soundtrack on previous movies. We decided to officially incorporate Taryn's brilliant segment into the episodes from now on. So what is your one sentence opinion on the score or soundtrack of the movie? Did it resonate with you at all? Did you hear it?
It was as garish as the rest of the movie because the only time I noticed it was like a choir going, when you didn't need a choir doing that.
Yeah,
so
I don't think it registered
overkill
at all.
If you had said that there was no soundtrack, there was no score, I'd be like, yeah, that sounds about right.
Yeah,
what
you
was
just
the
hear
movie
people's footsteps.
That Taryn did that this.
It was
Batman
1989. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Danny Elfman score.
Yeah. And that was a great score.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And then Batman Returns had a great score. Batman Forever, again, pretty forgettable.
Yeah.
This is very forgettable.
Yeah.
This movie is so forgettable.
So forgettable, you remember it for the rest of your life.
It's really bananas. okay, it's our segment, Five Kapows. It's time for reviews, where we read reviews of our own podcast. somebody gave it 5 stars. That's so nice. Meg to the Han. Informational. Apparently, people around me have been making references to Lord of the Rings and Fast and the Furious and Star Wars all the time. Not sure whether or not I'm happy about how now being clued into this. Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. I now get all the jokes everyone's making.
Yeah, when people say something about Obi-Wan, I'm like, I know who that is.
Yeah, so blessing or a curse, though, in the end.
Sometimes it's nice because you just don't feel lost.
Yeah, you feel included.
Yeah.
And you could say something back.
And I don't have to be like, I've never seen Star Wars, which
then
honestly,
people be like, what?
People don't like that. Yeah. And then it just kind of ends everything.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
It's better. And then I can be like, 1/4 portion. And then they're like, wow, you really know it. And I'm like, yeah, I've actually seen all of them.
Oh, wow.
And you recently. Lost me.
What is 1/4 portion?
Unkar plot? When he's like, okay, it's like there's like a sale. Okay, I'm gonna lose steam as I'm talking. But
okay,
there's like a moment in one of the films where there's like a store,
Force Awakens,
and they're getting like their allotted amount of food.
Oh, yes.
And they each get 1/4 portion.
Yes. Yeah.
That's like is that the price or is that the
amount?
Yeah.
But it's also money.
It's money, but you get 1/4 portion. Yeah, I don't know.
Wild.
That's played by Simon Pegg, that guy.
Oh, fun.
Yeah.
Oh.
I mean, lots of amazing people are involved with all these things. It's really fascinating.
You can really keep up.
That's one of the only things that stuck with me, but I have it.
I remember Blue Milk. Here.
Yeah.
Blue
Milk. Yeah.
In addition to Apple reviews of newcomers, we'll also be reading reviews from Letterboxd and giving the film a one-sentence review ourselves and a star rating. For anyone who doesn't know, Letterboxd is a social platform where people can write reviews of their of films. You can follow the show at, on Letterboxd at Newcomers.
Do you have a Letterboxd?
I do, and I follow you guys.
You do?
Thank you.
Do you use it often?
I do, but I don't write reviews and I don't do ratings. Uh-huh. I just feel
Do you like
bad.
To see what people have said about other things?
I guess I do write occasional reviews, but they're just stupid. You know, I don't write like serious reviews. I do have my own weird rating system, though, that I figured out that it's not whether I like a movie. It's also how good or bad my day is. Because do you ever have a good day and you watch a bad movie, but it's like Friday night and you're having a cocktail and suddenly the movie's good, or like this movie?
Yeah.
Or you're watching a good movie, it's a shitty day and you're just not in the mood. So that affects it.
Yeah, for
sure.
So
it's like good movie, good day, good movie, okay day, good movie, bad day, vice versa.
Yeah, do you explain that breakdown in your reviews?
I don't, no.
I give this 2 stars, but I had a bad day.
This is just for me.
I like it. Okay, well, this comes from Ryan. Ryan gave it 5 stars and said they knew what they were doing.
And Allure gave it 2 stars and said, this is not Batman. This is just bad. Man.
Ooh.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's think about solid. What you would say about this film, your star rating. I'm going to go ahead and say it's tough because, again, I like to leave room for things to get worse. I want to give it 1 star, but I kind of want to give it 2 stars because it's...
I think you're safe to give it 1.
Okay, I'm going to give it 1 star. This is my least favorite one that we've watched. My review is... No one made any choice, but I guess the big choice being made was that they were all in a cartoon. So if it's supposed to be a cartoon, it's really good.
Okay. My one sentence review is, what a great time I had. This is my favorite movie. I'll probably watch it again. 5 stars.
I like that our reviews get to be next to each other. Matt, what do you feel?
My review of this film is I'm so soundly nestled right between Lauren and Nicole in the most comfortable sandwich ever.
Yeah.
A film-going sandwich,
3 stars?
Oh, God, no. 1.5.
Okay, so
I guess I'm closer to
not right
to
in the middle of the
sandwich. Say they put this film in theaters for, like, one day. Would you go?
No.
I would.
Why would I go?
I would.
I have it on my fucking laptop,
would pay
and
money
I don't need to
watch it with other people.
Yeah, that would be a fun
I think
group
it would be
watch.
Very
yeah,
fun.
For sure.
That could be funny.
Yeah.
Yeah, if it's an interactive sort of like...
Where you just get to talk to
everyone
this
everyone can
and be like,
yell.
What?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Then that's the only way that would happen.
But. I watched this with my almost 2-year-old daughter, and that's kind of like helps it along too, because she's just like...
Yeah, I feel like I can't do that because she'll just be going, new movie, because she wants to watch
Monsters.
That's
new movie.
Oh, yeah, same. Yeah.
Oh, my God. Well, do you have anything you want to plug? We appreciate you so much.
Oh, so maybe by now, or likely very soon, my wife and I have a 8-episode mini-series podcast called Keys to the Kingdom about all the sordid stories of working at a theme park and what goes on behind the scenes of all the major theme parks.
Did you guys both do that?
We both worked at theme parks. We met at a theme park.
You did?
Yes.
Wow.
What theme park?
We both worked at Disney, never met, and then met at Universal doing improv there.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. I worked at Disney
story.
For 13, something like 13 years.
I can't wait to hear this. Yeah. I love behind the scenes
There's
stuff
There's
like
so
that.
Many crazy stories about shit that goes down there.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
The only thing
really
I know
fun.
Is you can't die at Disney. They won't pronounce
we,
you dead
we
there.
We have a little
what?
Bit on that in the
they
podcast.
They take you off the property to pronounce you dead.
Because
nobody
I've heard
dies.
A podcast about all the deaths that happened there, which is also really sad, but they don't pronounce
Do
you.
Do you want me to tell you, because we dug into that whole thing. So you can get pronounced dead at Disney. They try not to. It's just usually what happens is there's not like some coroner or doctor at the scene who can do that actual pronunciation. So they ought, even if they're dead, they don't know it. They rush into the hospital and it likely happens at the hospital.
Oh,
but it's not
I
like
see.
A
I thought it was a
documented
thing.
Policy. I know. I've heard,
well,
we dug
like,
into it because we've heard that myth so much.
Yeah.
You know?
And I'm like, so sad that's a myth.
I can't wait to say the name of it again.
Keys to the Kingdom.
Oh, I can't
and Taron,
wait.
Taron Killam's on it
oh,
as
great.
An interview subject because he's such a super fan.
Wow.
And he takes us through his whole perfect day at Disney. And there's some just crazy stories about mischief and stuff.
Oh my god!
Yeah,
yeah.
Yeah,
it sounds great.
Be out soon.
All right, cool.
Or it's already out, probably.
Okay,
you'll know.
Well, we're gonna be back next week with Batman Begins. Thoughts before we jump into that?
I'm really sad that it's not gonna be the same tone as this. Yeah. I'm sad that they're not running into another movie, the three of them, to act poorly.
Yeah.
I don't know anything about these ones, except I think I might have seen the Heath Ledger one.
Yeah, I think I saw that a million years ago.
Yeah.
But I don't know. This one I started, it's Christian Bale. Okay. I started it, and it's so different from this that it's kind of hilarious to watch it right after this.
Yeah.
I don't know how many years passed between...
Eight years.
Oh, that's a pretty long time.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm excited for you to watch it because I was actually kind of... Well, let's not even...
Okay.
Let's not say anything. Take out anything I've even said.
Okay, great.
Yeah. Let's see. Okay. We'll be back next week with Batman Begins. We'll see if we like it. Bye.
Bye. Bye. Newcomers is a production of HeadGum Studios. Our producer is Ali Khan. Our executive producer is Anya Kanivskaya. The show is edited, mixed, and mastered by Ferris Manchi, who also composed our theme song. Follow us on Letterboxd at Newcomers and leave us a review on Apple Podcasts. We might just read it on the next show. Bye.
That was a HeadGum original.